What if your home could change your life? Starting with a radically simple idea that we are shaped by the spaces we inhabit, spatial alchemist Olga Naiman reveals her unique step-by-step roadmap for personal empowerment and evolution through home design. Olga is here to share with us the unlikely beginning of her spatial alchemy, how she transformed a scarcity mindset into one of abundance, and how seemingly small tweaks and additions to your home can create a magical environment. Olga and I are excited to see you in the episode.
Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation.
Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman, and today I'm with Olga Naiman. Olga came my way through her agent, and you know, once in a while I get these emails that captivate me right away. And Olga's written a book, and it's called Spatial Alchemy, Design Your Home to Transform Your Life. And I'm not going to get too much into the bio because I really want to jump straight into the interview, but a whole body of work that came before the creation of this book. And if you watch on YouTube on video, here's this beautiful cover and just gorgeous creation, Olga. So thanks for being here and joining us today.
Oh, it was such a pleasure to be here. I'm excited about this conversation.
Yeah, I am too. So many of, I think, what we're up to, so many aspects of it kind of just gel and align. I was captivated, and I'm just going to jump right in, that your journey, your new journey, I guess, or that started in October of 2020, you just describe in your book, at that time in your life, I kind of took away that there were some surprising things happening in your life. And would you share some maybe shifts that were occurring or changes or foundational just shaking up that was going on for you?
Well, I had been feeling stuck in all aspects of my life prior to this. So my personal life felt stuck and my career, it wasn't where I wanted it to be. It was that feeling. And I had been spinning in circles for years trying to get this to work and feeling really frustrated and befuddled that I couldn't bring my career in with my purpose. Like it felt like I was making money and I was doing well and I had clients, but it didn't feel like it was touching my purpose. Same with my partnership and like my relationship with my body and my health. There was just a lot of stuckness and I've been trying to think my way out of it for years. So what happened was that I began in October of 2020, I really jumped over some scarcity in myself of like, I reupholstered all my furniture. And the way I did it, and reupholstering one's furniture, people do it all the time. But what I did that was different, and that really was the seed for my book, is that I connected this reupholstery to my future self. So I decided like that in the present, I didn't feel comfortable spending the money. And, you know, I was very in scarcity in the pandemic. My jobs had gone away, a lot of it as a stylist on photo shoots with lots of people. So I said that even if I'm not doing this for now, I'm doing this for my future self. Mm-hmm. I'm upholstering this furniture so that I could live in my dream house, which I was currently building. And I don't have to wait till the house is built to live in my dream house. I'm going to really start bringing my dream house towards me now. And that was like the shift that unlocked everything for me. Rather than waiting or working towards the future or feeling like the future is far away, I took this energy of the future and brought it into the real time, and my body began to entrain to it. I didn't realize that was going on, but what I did realize 2 weeks later, this fortuitous series of circumstances happened to me, and my manifestation range suddenly got way wider and Like the Washington Post wrote a story about me and how I was a design therapist. Mm-hmm. And this was stuff that I was doing, but I hadn't named it that. It was just something I was doing. I hadn't branded myself in a particular way. So that branded me kind of as this design therapist. And then the book came to me. I had this kind of dream, maybe I'll write a book one day, but I hadn't really gone about making the steps, or I didn't think I was ready. And it literally fell on my lap. And the publisher came to me and said, do you want to write this book? I think you have a lot to say. And then I thought, do I have anything to say? Yeah. You know, I had a lot of self-doubt, but I decided to like jump in. And then when I backtracked, I thought, wait a second, this is like miraculous what just happened. Mm-hmm. Like nothing short of a miracle for my life, where suddenly my career came into focus. Like there's just so much that like domino affected after that I started realizing that the way we work with our future selves and bringing them into the present moment is in the physical world of our homes is a very important piece in this kind of manifestation portfolio that we have. We know how to do vision boards. We know how to say affirmations. We know like how to work on our self-worth. We meditate. We, you know, for those of us in the spiritual self-improvement spaces, we have all the spiritual, mental, and emotional work that we are very familiar with, but the piece that we don't have, which is what the book addresses, is the physical world and how powerful the physical world is when you like design it to bring that future into the present moment now. Rather than sitting around waiting for it, being upset that it hasn't happened, if you begin to code your home one step at a time, one strand at a time, you begin to see shifts in your life. And then that you begin to understand the conversation between your home and your life. And as soon as you begin to understand that, pivotal things begin to happen.
Yeah. And how could it be otherwise, right? Because our homes are such representative places. They can be. They're always infused with our energy, but there is a lack of understanding about how powerful our homes really are. And maybe that even comes to where we choose to live. You know, I had a recent guest kind of talking about, and you mentioned when we were setting our intentions today, something about the grid work or being on the grid. And I think that's a really interesting element as to physically where we end up. But I have to believe, like, even in the houses that we choose, and mm-hmm. just maybe some bigger reasons right there, or even when the colleges we choose to attend, or just all these draws that bring us to the places and spaces in our life.
Yes, definitely. And our homes, we don't really see them oftentimes because we're so close to them. Don't really see how many unwanted patterns are coded into our home, or outdated identities, things that we liked, you know, that are more resonant with the past than it is with the future that we're wanting to step into. So if we're wanting to step into abundance, say, who doesn't? Like, and, you know, we're doing the affirmations and we're doing the vision boards and we're doing all these things. But if our home physically represents scarcity codes, things that, oh, I can't afford this, or I don't really like this, but okay, I can't, you know, like things that feel not so great to you, like having a large proportion of things that are more indicative of where you were than where you're wanting to move into, those physical things begin to create a pattern that your body is in training to. There is such a conversation between our bodies and our homes. So you want to be able to see that kind of stuff. And oftentimes people don't because they're used to it.
Okay. Yeah, that makes total sense. I'm thinking too, with your sort of rapid transformation that you went through in the past few years, would you say that the Olga before that sort of turning point that happened in 2020 kind of separated these parts of her life? Like there was the spirituality, and then there were her thoughts, and then there were the emotions, and then there was her body, and then there was the home. But were those just sort of piecemeal in some way? Because I love I was thinking before we met, I love the word alchemy. I think it's one of the most beautiful words. Would that be true of you, that it was all separate, but then somehow it came together to alchemize, to create also your special offering, your special blend and signature?
Yes. I had been when your life doesn't feel like what you want it to feel like, if you're a person that likes self-work, you start working on your thought patterns, your mindset, your emotions, your spiritual, your meditation, or your inner calm. But when the physical piece comes in, it really blends all of it together, because the physical world, like we all know it, like dress for success or dress for the job you want rather than the job you have. And we all can innately sense how powerful that is. The home is a similar thing. And I had not been designing it for that.
Okay.
I had been designing it to be beautiful. I had been designing it to be functional. I had been designing it to feel good, but I hadn't been thinking, do these pieces align more with, the person I was 5 years ago? Even if they're cool looking, but they're more indicative of like myself in 2010, which is when I bought these things. Mm-hmm. Like, are they now holding me back? So once I began to see the home with those eyes, with those glasses of, is it resonating with what I want to bring into my life? Or is it resonating more with where I've been or the past?
Okay.
I began to really find the code underneath the items, kind of like in the Matrix, at the end when he's fighting the like kind of evil guy and he sees the code and he starts to begin to work with the code that's underneath the physical reality. Your home is coded. And I hadn't realized that. I was just designing for beauty.
Okay. Yeah, that's so cool. What are some of the codes, if that's the right way to ask the question, that are operational, that are some of the most prevalent?
So oftentimes we, like even if you think of the mirrors that we look in, oftentimes we buy these default mirrors. Right. A lot of people have these hardware store mirrors and they're kind of tacked on the back of their bedroom door. I've seen it so many times, or their bathroom door and their closet. If they happen to have a walk-in closet, like they have a little mirror tacked onto there. That is the mirror that you look into every day is a powerful code. It's really how you see yourself. And we oftentimes don't realize, especially if we're feeling like we're not stepping into our most abundant self, we don't realize that how we're looking at ourselves is this kind of default mirror that we bought at the hardware store or, at IKEA. And there's nothing wrong with buying something at IKEA, but being aware of, okay, I'm buying this IKEA mirror because it has a simple blonde wood frame and my life is so complicated. I want to see myself in a more simple way. So I'm going to intentionally buy this IKEA mirror and put it above this like beautiful bench in my bedroom so that I could gaze upon myself very intentionally in a very simple, understated way, because that's what I want for my life. That is one way of buying IKEA. Mm-hmm. So it's not the IKEA that's the problem. It's when you buy something that's default, especially something that's so powerful as a mirror, and you don't realize how it's programming you, the code that's behind the mirror. So that's an example. Another example, and I'm giving very simple examples so that people can really not get overwhelmed, because so much of home design overwhelms people of like, I don't know where to begin. So you want to begin with the items that you touch daily and really take a survey of them, like your water glass, your salt and pepper cellars, your sponge, your tea towel, your coffee cup, your everything that's like touching your daily routines, because your daily routines are alchemical gold. If you start buying like the most exquisite sponge that money can buy, imagine that, then using that sponge every day and it's like so beautiful, or a really beautiful tea towel. So you don't need to spend a lot of money on this, but if you do, like your tea towel, your water glass, your watering can, the lamp that's in your foyer, these little things, and begin to up level them. Mm-hmm. And if you want, for example, more earthiness in your life, if you feel ungrounded and overwhelmed and you buy some like a terracotta glass, or not glass, but a terracotta cup that you drink from. That is earthy by its nature. The material has earth in it. And then you buy a water, like a salt and pepper shakers that are made and carved out of wood, right? And then you begin, you buy a watering can that feels really weighty with a gold handle. You start like thinking of the materials of things and you start deliberately coding, like I want to code or grounding stability and earthiness into my reality. So I'm going to, all the things that I touch on a daily basis will be representations of that. That is how to code.
That's very beautiful. It's making me think of, I recently stayed at my sister's house. She was out of town, out in Denver, and she's got a beautiful home and a lot of beauty and beautiful pieces in it. And she had a smaller watering can that was beautiful, like you're saying. Like, I can't remember exactly what it was. And she's got a million plants. And so we talked on the phone and she said, we were talking about the me watering the plants. And she said, oh, didn't you just use that big plastic one? You know, you could have gotten a lot more watered and you wouldn't have to go refill it. And it's making me think of this because I chose the other one for me because of its beauty. It was an element that I don't have a watering can in my house because I have just five or six plants, but I like what you're saying in terms. So the things that we're creating more intention around bringing into our homes for different people, does it signify different things that are important for their life? For me, I'm thinking of the word beauty. The word worthiness also came to me in what you were saying.
Yeah, it's really bringing more self-worth into your home.
Okay.
So you want to see the places where you're neglecting yourself. Like, for example, I have a little part in my book called Tripping Hazards, and it comes from a story of a friend, and I was helping her with her home, and she had this like corner of the rug that she always was tripping over literally every single day, but not noticing it because like she had a lot of things to do. She wanted to move forward. She didn't really think that it was a big deal. And we moved the rug around and 2 days later, she wasn't tripping like on the daily basis. Yeah. And she called me, she's like, oh my God, you can't believe how huge that is. Because that was like a little self-worth. It's like a little thing, you know, but it's like even something that's uncomfortable to reach, but you're reaching it on a daily basis. And if it's not easeful for you, you're coding difficulty into your home. Mm-hmm. Everywhere where things are hard, where things are broken or kind of not really functioning well, or even when things are just kind of default and you haven't thought about it, you just bought these water glasses 10 years ago and you still have them and your goals in your life have changed in the 10 years. Like now you want to bring in levity, say that you want to bring in joy, pleasure, and levity and like a lightness of being into your life because things have been heavy recently. So you want to start getting like colored glass, fun shapes. You want to start using things that biomorphically or like physically represent the energy that you want to bring into form.
Okay. So often do we go even to, can we almost do a survey of ourselves of going into other people's spaces? And it even could be, I would imagine, a beautiful restaurant or something like that, or any sort of public space. And we kind of touch or feel something that speaks to us really, because you're making me think of when I sat in my friend Susan's circles all those years, she would have these beautiful glasses. They were glass. They were small, but they were the kind that were like colored glass, and they had all the pattern, the texture on the outside, like the bumps, for lack of a better word. But I ended up buying a blue pair or set of them last year. And again, they make me so happy. But as it was at someone else's house, and then I didn't allow myself to do that for so long.
Yes, yes. It's like these intentional choices, like creating a series of intentional choices. And then there's like oftentimes like a positive synchronicity that happens in your life, because what you're doing really is up-leveling your self-worth. You're getting more intentional with yourself. You're up-leveling your self-care. And then there's a thing that will happen in your life. Then you realize, wait, there's a direct relationship between the thing that just happened and like the glasses, the water glass, the watering can, and these like four or five little moves that I made in my house and getting rid of a few things that were like really bumming me out. Like I made these changes and suddenly the energy changed in my house. And that opened the door to this delightful coincidence of me running into my old high school friend and she knew the guy that I then went out on a date with or something. You know, those delightful things, you want to start being able to create those delightful things for your life. Feel there's such a direct relationship between that and the home.
Okay. I love it. So many people are sort of bogged down. They're bogged down by stuff. It can be clothing. It can be artifacts from our parents who have passed. I, for one, have three mega type pieces of artwork in my basement right now. And none of my siblings could take it. It was after my mom had passed away years ago. And then my dad 2 years ago, but it's propped against a wall in my basement. What do we do with things like this that may be of worth, but no one really wants to take them on?
Yeah. It's like, you want to see that if you're not using them and then you're not actively loving them, then you're not honoring those things. Mm-hmm. Because ideally that's what we want. That's why we hold on to them. Because we want to honor the memories of our parents or our loved ones that gave them to us. But if they're sitting around, they're not being honored. So like, I personally think I give those things away. I gave away a mirror that belonged to my father who had passed away. And it represented, you know, his view of me. Mm-hmm. That's how I saw it. I gave it away along with a few other things like on the full moon, like a time to release. And the person that took it was so excited to use that thing in their home. They knew exactly where it was going to go. And that object, I don't have to actually physically have in order to honor that person, because that object is being honored way more than it would have been. And if it sat around in my also literally like junk pile, because I wasn't using it. So giving those away also unlocks some narratives and stories that those things represent for us. So you want to start thinking of like, okay, there's an object, but what does it really represent? Why am I not using it? You know, why, what's the resistance to like putting it in my home? And once you realize what the resistance is, it maybe reminds me, it just doesn't look good in the house that I'm in now. It's like the past that doesn't work with the present. So you want to start releasing those things because the space that opens up is very palpable.
Okay.
You will feel the difference, especially those people that are really holding tight to these objects. When you release it, in like a few days' time, you're like, whoa, there's a lot that opened up by giving that away. So you have to value what's on the other side of giving that piece away, because everything is symbolic.
Oh, I love that. That's so powerful. You had talked about in the topics, forget decluttering, try dissolving. Is that related or is this different?
It's completely related, because every item in your home has a story. And it's either more aligned with the future that you're moving into or more aligned with the past. So decluttering is really top layer. And no one's like, I love decluttering, but oftentimes then the clutter builds up and then you declutter again and then it builds up. And it's this kind of like never ending cycle of decluttering. Dissolving is more powerful because it's deeper. What you're dissolving is unwanted identities and how those patterns that you no longer want to keep active in your home. So everyone knows whether this item is more aligned with the future that they're trying to step into or more aligned with the past. And you have to feel for yourself what that balance is. And once you start releasing the things that are in the past, you're almost beginning a death and rebirth cycle, like a mini death and rebirth cycle. Because once you give away enough of them, maybe 4, 5, 6 worst offenders, like it could be little things. I'm not saying get rid of your sofa. Like it could be little symbolic things. But once you start doing that and you start feeling the space that it opens up in your life, that's going to incentivize you to keep going. You are literally dissolving and deactivating old codes. Like, think of it as like an old version of yourself. You're deactivating that version so that you can bring the new versions in.
So good. I think we do this work on the, again, this separated emotional level, right? So maybe you sat with a therapist and worked on the loss of a marriage, even say, but yeah, there still could be representations of, like you're saying, that coding or the story or the experiences that are still maybe holding you back or down a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't see it because we live with it, mm-hmm. right? It's hard to see, but once you begin to see it and you can see what it does to your body and your psyche when you release these things, and what the opportunities that start coming into your life, you're going to be more incentivized to begin doing this for yourself. And it's way more potent than decluttering.
Well, I'm sitting here smiling if anyone's watching the video portion, and because I have so many light bulbs and realizations about my own home. And there's been a lot of transformation that have occurred within it. But I'll share one that I'm thinking of actively is when my dad was still around, his lady friend at the time herself was moving. And this was probably only 3 years ago. And I needed new dishes and she had a stack of dishes. Maureen, take the dishes. So Olga, I take the dishes and they are in my cabinet in my kitchen as we speak. Yet these dishes are not me at all. Mm-hmm. They are not me at all. I mean, it almost like not breaks my heart. That's a little strong, but to the self-honoring of, hey, Maureen, you could go choose what you want to choose. And that's not excessively so. If you saw my house, you wouldn't think so. But that's an interesting thing, because that pattern of using someone else's before honoring myself in the process has been a pattern in my life. So that's a perfect example.
If you start seeing these things symbolically, because you're eating off these dishes several times a day. Mm-hmm. So the thing that you're eating, you're consuming from these dishes energetically.
Yeah.
So if, for example, when people say, well, I don't know what dishes to buy, like there's like a million of them. And I'm not even saying go out and buy new dishes. One can buy vintage, like a set of beautiful vintage dishes. For under $100, you could buy like a whole set on auction. I do it all the time. And you begin to think, okay, what do I want to code into my life? Like, what energy do I want? Is it abundance? Is it vitality?
Yeah.
For example, vitality is you're going to buy a brighter dish, a more colorful dish, a more like maybe it's a striped dish. Maybe it has like a pattern on it. Maybe it just has a rim that's bright. You know, if you want vitality. But if you want, for example, calm, you buy a completely different dish. If your family's been jostled lately by transitions and your kids and your partner, you know, have been jostled, you want like grounding calm, then you buy an earthenware dish, maybe that has like a soft blue color to it or some kind. You want to start thinking that the embodiment of the thing that you're buying has to match the thing that you want in your life, mm-hmm. bring it into your life. And that's how you solidify energy. That's how you take your vision board off the 3D cloud and make it physical, make it real. So then daily, twice a day, you're eating off these now calm and grounded, solid dishes. That's going to make you feel a certain way over time.
Does your, when you speak of the future self, do you feel that's tied into our higher self and the higher knowing that is here to guide us, that we're not always in touch with? We think that we're just a physical body on a physical plane, but there's actually a part of us that is a higher self. Do you think of those two as the same?
I think they're a little different. And here's how I see the difference. Because the higher self is a more like amorphic, not embodied thing. Whereas the future self, I see it as like 2 years down the line. Where do you, because it's very hard to picture this like almost like angelic being that is our higher self. But the future self is like you in 2027. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that hard to picture, especially mm-hmm. if you're like, okay, I'm married now. In 2 years, I want to be divorced. I want to be living in my own apartment in the city. And I want to have a job that pays me $200,000 with benefits. Whereas now I'm freelance And that is okay. Like you can see, okay, in order to get to, that's just 2 years down the road, I could feel into that reality. How do I, what kind of dishes would that person be eating on?
Okay. Yeah. And so Olga, I'm thinking about your process too, in terms of working with people. Do you sit down in more of a coaching style to begin with? Do you take inventories and scan their house, or how do you work?
Yeah, I love doing the inventories because what we do is say, where do you want to be in 2 years? Like, what is your future self? And that's a very doable kind of thing. And most people know where they want to be in 2 years. And then I start looking at their house. And before I buy anything, I take them through where things are not resonating. Okay, you want to have that divorced lifestyle in the city and this kind of junky, like rocking chair, you know, is not aligning with that. Can you see that? And usually it's very obvious and they begin to really see their patterns. So before we buy anything, we remove, we dissolve.
Yeah.
And then we allow the person to sit in the emptiness and really feel into what they want to bring into form. And then I help them like with resourcing. Okay, so you want to be in the city, so you want to have this kind of lifestyle. What things can you buy that person has already? And we look at bridge pieces. We look like bridge meaning pieces that bring their rooms together. I help them resource. I help them pull together things. But I love working with folks that don't have huge budgets.
Yeah.
And don't want to fully renovate their homes. I love working with those people because I feel like they're oftentimes underserved by the design community.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. I was going to ask you about when do you see just appropriate to repurpose? Like you started with reupholstery, right? Taking a beautiful object and putting something new on it. And so is there an alchemy that can happen there? Other, you know, in addition to just changing the material on something, is there a blessing of energy? Are there things like this that you do with pieces you work with or spaces?
Oh, definitely. Because the blessing is using it as a kind of portal to bring the energy that you want to experience into the physical world.
Yeah.
So when I see, I don't like throwing things away. I am not someone who likes to buy a lot of new things. I buy things vintage. That's kind of my jam. And I don't necessarily like to throw things away. I like to see if they would work in a different room unless they're bringing the person down.
Okay.
And you can tell. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a new reupholstery will change the energy of a piece. If they think it's comfortable, but the fabric is torn or stained or old, then we should definitely do reupholstery.
Okay.
You want to think strategically, how do we make the budget go further by doing the least amount of moves and begin to up level with doing the least amount of moves so that it's doable. So people don't get frozen in fear of like, I don't know where to begin.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes total sense. And I can see that if you went into a space that just some simple tweaks and additions and this and that could make all the difference in the world. Do you sometimes come across, well, let me ask, do you feel like you can read energy of objects and just things that people have in their spaces?
Definitely, definitely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and everyone can once they realize how.
Okay.
So you can look at the material, first of all. Like how, if that thing were a person, what would that person look like? It's like Beauty and the Beast, how like the teacup turned into like a teacup and it was like a woman and it turned into like the teacup version of that woman. So you want to start looking at metals, wood, stone, like those kind of have a weight to them. And that's a very different thing than like a colorful resin piece. You want to start working with things that feel like you want to feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is very much in the material and in the shape and in the form. And once you kind of see things with those eyes, then it makes it a lot easier to choose the right things for your home because we have so much decision fatigue.
Yeah. And sometimes I think giving ourselves permission to go somewhere that we've never gone before in terms of an item that if we really feel into it, I have an item in my house that became special to me. And it was this beautiful glass blown, it sounds funny, mushroom. And I don't know, it's probably 8 or 9, 8 inches tall or something like that, but the hue of the purple, and it was related to a friend of mine who just loved that symbolism. And so that's not something I would ever buy, but I gave myself that permission, and it sits in a beautiful place and it reminds me of her, and it's just got a beautiful resonance.
And that's like, I call that a power object. The one thing that I always tell my clients to do before we buy like a whole set of, you know, new things is choose something that's like has special meaning for you that represents the future self. Okay. Like one thing. Mm-hmm. I have a section in my book about like this colored basketball that I got, like an artist painted basketball. And that was because I wanted to bring more creativity, fun, and play into my life. And I put that basketball right across from my desk. So when I looked over my computer, I saw the basketball on a shelf. And it just reminded me of that energy, and my gaze was going there all the time. So whatever you pay attention to, you feed. Okay. Whatever you feed grows. Yeah. So if you want like the energy of like, I don't know what that mushroom represents for you, but it's if you're putting it in a very intentional place. So it's not only reminding you of the friend, but it's also bringing in maybe there's a particular kind of energy that she possesses that you also want to grow in yourself. Mm-hmm. Now you want to start working with objects in, I don't want to say sacred ways, but intentional ways.
Okay.
Yeah. So that it literally becomes a portal. These these power objects become a portal that bring the energy that we want to live in into the present moment, into the now, so we can begin the dialogue, the relationship with that.
And how do you feel about, well, I'm thinking about the qualities that I'm calling in, and they would be definitely creativity, but expansion and clarity. And mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, I work a lot at a dining room table, which we never really eat on, but it can become cluttered. Do you, and I feel like that's probably with a lot of people because our spaces can become catch-alls. And so there's piles of every little thing, but do you recommend either morning routines or evening routines around preparing spaces for the day or for the next day?
Yes, definitely. So I love, like on my dining room table is also a catch-all, but I love having different trays because even if things are like in different trays and containers, then it looks more organized. Even like low-lidded boxes for paper. I have some clients that I got that like they have offices in their bedrooms just because that's circumstance. They live in New York City. And they don't have that extra room for an office, but they work out of their bedroom. And I always suggest that at the end of the day, put like a crystal or a stone on piles of papers to show that you're like done with them. Nice. Put the lids on boxes. If you have like a stack of folders, keep that stack in a box. And at the end of the day, you could put a lid on it. You want to start shifting the office space from like work and mind and mental and strategy into like the softened animal of you, which is what you want to be in your bedroom. You want to kind of come into the softer, especially as a feminine being. You want to come into your softness and your receptivity at the end of the day. So there's putting things like you could even put a beautiful textile or a beautiful fabric over something, you know, so that it really shifts the energy.
I love that. I know for myself too, if I've got too many things out there cluttered, I can't get my work done until I take care of that. It's not a distractibility. It's just, I just feel more centered in myself to then focus on what I have to focus on. I literally will be pulled off task.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Is there anything, Olga, that I've kind of left out or are important, I don't know, just areas you want to cover before we finish today?
There's so many areas that that we can talk about. Lighting, for example. Why don't I just touch on lighting because it's such a key factor in how we move. Lighting and textures, such a key factor in how we come home and we release. Because oftentimes, especially if we work from home, it's really hard to not be on all day. And when you shift the lights from your daytime lighting to your evening lighting using tiny lamps, which is one of my secret ingredients. Like there are so many lamps on the market these days that are battery powered and really chic. that you could put in your bathroom and that you could put on your kitchen counter. Some of them have like our vintage ones. I love vintage small lamps that have cords. And if there's an area that has a cord, like a kitchen counter, you could twirl up the cord, stick it behind the lamp and put this tiny lamp on. So you don't have to put on the overheads after you've done preparing your meal. You could then move it into the evening lighting, and that allows your body to down-regulate. And in the bathroom, you don't have to turn on the main lighting, but keep like one of these tiny lamps on, like through the night. And that, I started doing that for myself, and especially in the winter, that really changed my relationship with like hibernation and like that softened winter feeling. I think like really thinking about lighting to down-regulate your nervous system is such an important thing.
Oh, so important. So important. And then the habits that can go along with that too, right? I said to my husband last night, like it was about 6:37, we went for a walk, and I said, why don't we just put away our phones for the night? Like, not, you know, I'll keep the ringer on just in case one of the kids calls from out of town. But other than that, let's put it down, because that down regulation, like you're saying, through our home, through lighting, through technology, quieting down is so, so important.
Such an important thing. And giving the body an opportunity to settle back into itself, or you to settle back into your body after a day. So the last thing I want to say is having a thick pile rug, one somewhere in your home that isn't piled up with furniture, so that you could come home and like roll around on the rug, or just even just lie there flat on the ground, face down for 5 minutes, especially if you had a hard day, and just kind of rock your hips back and forth and just kind of make some noise, you know?
Yeah.
That's an important thing, because if you come home and you've had a hard day and you're kind of pissed off and angry, then you have like the kids with stuff to prepare or stuff to do. And it, like the list never ends. You never give your body a chance to really settle in.
Yeah.
So one of my big tricks, because oftentimes I would come home and go right to the snacks, because the snacks would help me settle down, you know?
Right.
And one of the ways I was able to lose quite a large amount of weight is to come home and, instead of going right for the snacks, like lay down face down on my thick pile rug and just like lie there for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
The kids loved it. They would jump on top of me. We would all lie there and kind of wrestle and make some noise. And then I would not need the snacks. I wouldn't need that coping mechanism that we had. So your home can really start breaking these habits.
Yes. Yes. I'm thinking about that. It's just the sensory experience, and you were using the sensory experience of the crunch or the texture, but then you switched it to something in your home that can provide that for you. And that's that same sensory experience of the lighting and bringing in softness. Like, is that what your future self wants? Right. Are you strung out? Are you overloaded, overwhelmed? Yeah.
That yin energy is so important to bring into your home, like hanging textiles on walls, textures on your bed. Our homes are so square and just inherently hard. Square windows, square walls, especially the modern homes, they're very pointy. So anytime you could bring texture and softness into the home, that you're inviting more softness into your life.
Beautiful. I love that. It's reminding me, last year I had a chance to go to Barcelona, and there was the Gaudi inspired, well crafted, I think it's called Casa Batlló. Have you ever been there?
I have, many years ago.
Yeah, because it's got all the windows that are curvy and wavy and completely different than the design of most of the world. I'd never thought of that before. You just said that most of our house is square. Yeah, it's so, so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whereas like the modernism is based on the mind. It's not based on the animal body at all.
No, not at all. You know, Olga, I'm just going to say to the listeners, and then I'm going to ask it. I always ask if there's something, you know, that's coming to mind that's coming through you. But before I do that, I just want to recommend to the listeners picking up this book, Spatial Alchemy, because it is beautiful to look at. It's definitely a coffee table book, but inside of it, it's just got so much useful knowledge and insight and wisdom. So I'd encourage you to get a copy with that. I'll include it in the show notes. But, you know, in terms of a message to leave with the listeners today, is there anything that's coming through you that feels important?
Start taking the energy that you want more of in your life and bringing it into your home and see what happens. So don't like, because we're oftentimes chasing things in the future. You can start bringing that future towards you in a very intentional way and almost like weaving the tapestry of the energy strand by strand so you can begin to experience it in the now. And that's how your home becomes magnetic, not only beautiful, but magnetic. And it truly becomes your ally. Like it has your back because it becomes like an embodiment of the thing that you're bringing in. And it's not all about spending money. Mm-hmm. It's about intention and awareness.
Beautiful. I love it. I hope you're collecting the stories of change your clients and anyone who is lucky enough to touch your work have in their own lives. It's so cool.
It's sometimes miraculous and so delightful. And they're like, I can't believe this happened, but it's
yes.
So to do with the session we have. I love it.
I can't wait to play in my own home. So thank you for being here. Thanks to the listener. Do you have a website or where can the listener find you?
Yes, they can find my website, thespatialalchemy.com, mm-hmm. and Instagram, which I'm very active on. And it's Olga Naiman, at Olga Naiman is my handle.
Beautiful.
And you could, buy the book, which is available wherever books are sold, everywhere, anywhere.
I love it. Okay, Olga, thank you. And thank you to the listener for being here as always. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my 1-on-1 coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.